We've been discussing the various ways that the shtar is unique and different from typical cases of eidus. And in light of the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Lamed Aleph, the Sugyan Ksuvas and Daf Chav, we pointed out the fact that indeed this is a chiddush, because when the Torah describes typical eidus, it is always something that is communicated verbally. The Torah tells us alpi, and the Gemara's drush is alpi is not just simply an option or a detail, but mipihem velo mipi ksavim. That means that you have to deliver the evidence verbally. Ad kedei kach, the Gemara Ksuvas and Daf Chav, the Machlokes Rav Huna, Rabbi Yochanan, that there are times we're not even going to allow an aide to rely on the notes that he had describing the details of the case. If in fact there is recollection, but simply he's refreshing his memory, okay, at times that will be good in a detailed machlokes, Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. But if clearly it is simply based on the fact that he is reading the series of events without any recollection, that is not considered to be eidus in any shape or form. So Tosus raises the obvious question, okay, so forget about eidus, but why not submit that document to Beis Din and let that document go ahead and serve as a form of eidus? How can a document serve as eidus? Let's call that a shtar. And therefore, let that be recognized not because of the testimony of the witnesses, but rather independently as a shtar. So Tosus points out, and we'll have to discuss this later in detail, that that is not a shtar. The fact that you go ahead and you redact does not automatically mean that that has the status of a shtar. And Tosus writes the great chiddush that in order to have the integrity of a shtar, it's something that is nichtav midas hamischayiv. It means that, you know what, that the Baal goes ahead and drafts a shtar for the purpose of kedushin or gerushin. The adam does so with the mindset of shichra. The mocher does so, and he's willing to part with his land. Maybe even alova. Alova receives the funds, and you know what? Now there's a shtar hava, and therefore that confirms his obligation in order to go ahead and to pay the malva. The common denominator of all of those cases is that the shtar was created with das hamischayiv. And Tosa says that wasn't true here. Here a person witnessed something, and he goes ahead and he redacts. That certainly does not have any sense of a das hamischayiv, and it doesn't have the status of a shtar at all. And therefore, to accept this as eidus would mean mipihem. So now you have to balance. On the one hand, he is going to testify verbally, but he's being reminded of the series of events based on that which he writes. When is that mutter? When is that aser? But that's a stunning chiddush that Tosus writes, that it's not just simply that we view the document as being regular eidus. We don't allow eidus v'chsav. The exception to this is something which is called a shtar. And if it doesn't meet the requirements of a shtar, it cannot even be used in order to go ahead and to create the recollection. It has to be something that could trigger, could add a detail, but otherwise not. So we started to discuss the uniqueness of shtars. So number one, it's unique in light of Gzeres HaKosav Mipihem, where the Gemara's Doresh V'lo Mipi Ksavim. Then we pointed out the Sugya B'Vasra Kufnun Tes, and that is that maybe one could have created the following analogy, which is wrong. That, you know what, that there are two parts to eidus. There's the re'iyah and there is a haggadah. And when it comes to a shtar, there is the hishavus hashtar. You create the shtar, and the shtar then is submitted to Beis Din. Maybe one could argue that the submission of the shtar is comparable to haggadah eidus. After all, that's when Beis Din is informed of the eidus. They're informed of the verbal eidus when it's communicated, when the eid is made. They're informed of the documented eidus when the shtar is submitted to Beis Din. Oh, so the Gemara tells us that is not true. That, you know what? The chalos hashtar is tekef umiyad. Tekef umiyad. It's not pending that, you know what, when the shtar is submitted, at that point in time, the shtar comes to life, but rather its chalos is considered to be tekef umiyad ad kedei kach. If the Eidim HaChasuim al Hashtar are inadmissible at the time that it is presented to Beis Din, they're Krovim or they're Psulim. When it comes to Eidus HaPeh, that's it, we're done. When it comes to a Shtar, the Shtar is considered to be Kosher. Because Higia Hashtar LeBezin is not the relevant window. In other words, that whatever the shtar is going to express, it's going to express tekev umiyah, immediately. Oh, you'll tell me that, but what do you mean? That normally speaking, Eidos requires a drisha v'chakira. We signed the shtar. So where was the give and take? Where was the drisha v'chakira? The Gemara Sanhedrin, Beis Mabeis, Gimel Maralev, Dvar Torah, Echad Dinei Mamonos, Echad Dinei Nefashos, the drisha v'chakira, Shenemar, Mishper Echad Yoachem. Eidim come, that's step one. But that's not the final stage, just because the Eidim somehow show up. So where does this happen when it comes to a shtar? That's the great Chiddush of our Gemara in Gitna Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and that is Eidim Achasim Arashtar, literally. So halacha number one, that means in terms of time, the Chalos Ashtar is not pending. The Chalos Ashtar is not dependent in any shape or form on its submission to Bezdin, but rather the Hisavos Hashtar, the creation of the Shtar, is a reality right here and now. And therefore, you know what, if subsequently you're a Karov or a Apostle, that's considered to be irrelevant. And then we saw the Sugim Baba Kamad of Tzariches in the Tosos that writes the following, that if I go ahead and I see a Shtar, that's something that is incredibly meaningful. If I see an event, I can be made. If I see the system of Beis Din, and Beis Din is Mekabel the Eidim, and Beis Din is Dorish V'choker, and Beis Din, for example, will say, Ish Ploni Atachayev, you know what? I can attest to that fact. I can go to another Beis Din, and I can say, you know what? This issue was already adjudicated because I was there, I was present, and this is what the Beis Din said. The Gemara says a stunning Chiddush, that you know what, that if I see the shtar, that's considered to be something which is relevant. And that Tosus points out, that's that sugya. In Bava Kama and Tav Tzariches, that a person goes ahead and he destroys your shtar. As a result, you suffer a significant loss, not a direct hezek, but an indirect hezek, which is called garmi. Sore shtorel shel chaver. So let's assume a person did so, he did so, he's chayim. But how in the world are you going to determine what the shtar said? Now, if the shtar is here, we're good to go. If the shtar is not here, so how are you going to determine the extent of the chiyuv? So maybe they're edim. Maybe they're edim who could attest to the fact that this is what the shtar said. So the Gemara says something unbelievable. That edi kasade, if there are witnesses, and diyada mai haba bishtara, and they can tell you what the shtar says, you're ready. Lichtav leishtara. So just write a new shtar. What did these Eidim see? They didn't see any event. They just saw a shtar. That Gemara Ksuvas and Dachav. You can't even allow the Eidim themselves to testify regarding that which they saw. That's mipihem v'lo mipi ksavam. There has to be independent verification. So, independent verification, Adam saw the star, they're clueless in terms